and Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. The Apostle Paul said, by the grace of God, I am who I am. So we all need to remind ourselves of that once in a while. Amen. It's by the grace of God, I am who I am. Amen. And I know there's only one superhero up in here, and that's Jesus, right? Yes. Hallelujah. To him belongs the glory. Hallelujah. So to God be the glory. Are you thankful for the work that God's doing in your life? Yes. Amen. Even when sometimes the ride on the wheel gets a little rough, starts to spin. Sometimes seems like things are getting out of control, but God's got it. Amen. We just trust in him. His grace is sufficient. His grace is enough. And by the grace of God, I am who I am today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We'll have a word of prayer together. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, Lord, we just invoke your divine influence upon our hearts today. Holy Spirit, come and teach us today. Take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us, Lord. God, we pray that you will break every stronghold. You'll set every captive free. Lord, you remove the veil from our eyes that we can see clearly. And Lord, open our ears that we may hear and know your voice, that we might be a people who are led of your Spirit. Father, we just pray for your will to be accomplished here and now, Lord. As I open my mouth, Father, I pray that you would fill it, that you would give me the utterance to speak, that we may hear from you, Lord, and not from a man, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You know, Brother Wayne had mentioned something in the men's meeting yesterday, and he just dropped this, and I thought it was good. It says, your outlook on your situation will determine your outcome. Your outlook on your situation will determine your outcome. And you know how the Lord just kind of seeds you with things like that. And it's like, yeah, that's absolutely correct. It's our perspective. It's how we see things, how we view things. Whose perspective are we seeing things through, you know? Do we see things by God's perspective or from just our human reasoning, from man's perspective? It makes a big difference, doesn't it? We need the mind of Christ. We need to know the heart and the mind of the Father and the will of God. And it's faith in God's truth, God's promises, that produces a change, transformation in our hearts. And God has made it possible for you and I to live in complete freedom, you know, and to walk in complete victory over sin, over ourselves, and over the devil. We have complete freedom in Christ. And so the title of the message is Complete Freedom in Christ. God wants to complete that. God is doing a work. God is faithful to complete the thing that he began in us. Can you say amen? But he's looking for cooperation in the process. It's not just going to happen automatically. He will pour out his grace upon the humble and the hungry and the ones that are receptive, the ones that really want to be changed and to become like Jesus. Amen. If that's where you're at today, then God has grace for you. He has provision of his grace so that you can reach your destiny, amen, with joy. As you see Jesus there in that last day, when we see him and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Remember, God told Moses in Numbers 33, in verse 51, he said, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, destroy all their engraved stones, and destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. What is God saying? He says, don't leave anything. Completely eradicate your enemies. Okay? He's saying, I want you to get rid of all the inhabitants. Inhabitants, you can scratch through that and put demons. Demon spirits. Idols. false gods. High places. What are the high places? Well, these are these places that were on tops of mountains or hills that where they would offer sacrifices to Baal and to other, you know, false gods. The same thing is happening today. Did you know there are high places throughout the earth that people still worship Baal, worship Satan? You know, all throughout America, United States, right? These things are still going on. And so God is saying, I want you to get rid of all the images, all the idols, all the false gods, all the inhabitants of the land, and demolish every high place. In other words, don't leave anything remaining that has to do with the devil. Do you understand that God wants us completely liberated, completely free from the influence and the power of the devil and of sin? And because of what Jesus has accomplished for us, that power has already been broken. But we have to enter in by faith into the promise of complete freedom in Christ. What you believe will determine what you can receive. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith in what God has promised us, and God has promised his people freedom. Jesus said, whomsoever the Son sets free is free. Indeed. Amen. So God wants us totally set free from the power of sin and from the power of Satan. Amen. In our lives. And God wants us actually set free from ourselves. Hello. Isn't that liberating to be free from me? You see, the world has told you that you need to be, make it all about you. And the focus needs to be on you. And God says, no, you need to deny you. And don't make it about you. But the world says, no, the world revolves around you. In other words, the devil wants you to believe that somehow you're your own God. But if we are in Christ today, we have been purchased. We have been bought at a price. Amen. The highest price. With the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and we belong to him. We're now his possession and his special people. And we get to really to be part of this, what he's doing. God allows us to be a part of this. So, you know, the Lord said that you need to get rid of all these things because he knew that if they didn't, that eventually these things would come back and torment them. And that's the way it is. When you and I want to strike deals with the enemy, or if we want to compromise with evil in our lives, we're simply giving the enemy permission to continue to do his dirty business. And the devil is a destroyer. Did you know that? He's a thief. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a killer. And so we don't want anything to do with that dude, right? So don't play around in his playground. Don't dabble with anything that has to do with the dark side. We're children of light. Walk as children of light. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Put it out. Get rid of it. Demolish every high place. Drive out all the unclean spirits. Don't tolerate the devil in your life anymore. If you need deliverance, you need to be set free. God has the power to set you free. Amen. But you have to be willing to cooperate with God and say no to the devil and yes to Jesus. You see, some people have these little friends with them that they don't want to let go of because of personal insecurity. And basically, they're false gods. They're relying upon another god to give them whatever power or strength they feel that they need in this world to survive. And the devil's always trying to take the place of Jesus in our lives. Did you know that? As you've said, I've heard it said many times, he is a narcissist and he loves to get attention. He wants to be worshipped in place of God. He is the Antichrist. So God is not playing when it comes to sin. Can you say amen? Because the Lord paid the highest price for our freedom. And in 1 Peter 1:18, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the what? Precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So God wants every demon, every idol, every sinful habit, eliminated from our lives. Because Jesus has already overcome that for us, and he has promised us complete freedom in him. Ah, well, that you say, but that's not my reality. Well, it can be. Because it will be unto you according to your faith, according to what you believe. If you believe and receive the truth, amen, you can be set free from the lie, from the deception. Because the enemy always lies to us and uses deception to get us to believe something that's not true so that we'll receive an identity that's not true. Isn't that happening today? So many people are searching for an identity. Oh, there's thousands of identities today. Everybody trying to discover who they are, basically. And yet the answer is right there in front of us. You need to return to your Creator, to your Maker, to your God. Amen? To understand who you are, who you really are. Not what all these other voices are trying to tell you, but who God says you are. So he said, get rid of every high place. Get rid of these things that... Today, we could say you need to get rid of all those thoughts that are exalting themselves against the truth. You need to topple those things. You've got to quit entertaining any thought that does not agree with the Word of God. Amen? Can you say amen? Because you defeat the lie with truth. This is a truth war. And that's why the enemy doesn't want you to know what is true. That's why the enemy is constantly trying to keep you out of the Word. Amen. And from listening to the Word of God. Because he wants to be able to rob you. And he can only rob you in the areas where there is darkness. Because of a lack of the knowledge of God. My people perish for lack of knowledge. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, we know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or of human origin, right? But they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down these arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Truth will always prevail over the lie. And even though we see a lot of things happening in our world right now, even in this nation, even in the political arena, understand this, that eventually... And in God's time, the truth will prevail in America. Amen? Every hidden thing will be brought into the light. Nothing is hidden from him to whom we all what give an account. And so today we come before the Lord, amen, in humility and faith and call upon him for mercy. That he might forgive our sins and cleanse us. And restore us to right fellowship with him. Amen. So that our conscience will be sprinkled by the blood of Christ. And we can live in freedom. Hallelujah. From shame and from guilt and all these other things that are those tormentors. Amen. That the enemy uses against us. God does not want his people living with a guilty conscience. How many know that God can deal with a guilty conscience if you're willing to get honest with him, amen, and repent and humble yourself and deal with the things that he's telling you to deal with. Get rid of the things he's telling you to get rid of, amen. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit so that you can be completely free in Christ, having no place dark, no place for the enemy to operate any longer. You know, the perfect love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And when we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, there's no fear, there's no torment in the love of God. And God will possess the areas that have been cleansed, amen? And the areas where we have been honest and repentant towards God, those are the places, amen, that God will come and dwell. But if we want to hold off and say, no, God, you can't have this or you can't have that. Well, then you're just giving the enemy permission to continue to work in that part of your life and keep you bound. But Jesus has already overcome the enemy of our soul. He's already spoiled these principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness. Amen. He is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He has all authority and he wants his people completely set free. Amen. And he wants us to maintain our freedom, walk in our freedom. Amen. Keeping our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ, the one who's gone before us, our forerunner. Hallelujah. Amen. And who invites us to come into the very throne of grace in his name. So that all we have need of, all the grace, all the mercy we need is freely given to us in Christ so that we can walk in complete freedom. Hallelujah. You see, if you're tormented by guilt, you won't serve the Lord. So the enemy wants to use guilt against you to shut you down. Because God has invested in you and I. He's placed things in you, amen, that are precious and that aren't to be taken and invested in the hearts and lives of others. Amen. So we will be salt and we'll be light. But if the enemy can get us on a guilt trip, are you hearing me? He's good at reminding you of things that are past, even the things that God has forgiven you of. He just wants to bring it back and rub it in your face again. Hopefully you'll accept it and receive the guilt back again and the shame back again and shut you down because I'm so unworthy. Well, who is worthy except Him? Amen. He's the one that makes us worthy to serve Him with a clear conscience and full confidence of faith, assurance of faith. Colossians 2:15, again, having disarmed, already disarmed principalities and powers. This is what our Lord did at the cross. He made us public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. If we don't believe that we can overcome in life, then we won't. You will receive what you believe. And so the enemy's after your faith. He's trying to get you to doubt. And he tries to get us to look at ourselves as being the ones that qualify ourselves. Depending on how well I do today, it depends on how much God loves me, you know. God loves me a little less today because I made a mistake. How many have made a mistake today already? Don't raise that hand. Oh, I'm missing. Do you understand that the enemy is constantly trying to get under our skin? He's trying to get in our head and he's trying to torment us with lies and accusation and bringing up things of the past and bringing up failures and things that you've done and you know you did it and you feel bad about it. And the reason you feel bad about it, first of all, initially, is because the Holy Spirit convicted you of it. And I'm thankful for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That he convicts me so that I want to get it right. Amen. I get right with God. But after that's been settled, the enemy wants to try to offer it back to you. And get you back under condemnation, back under guilt, all right, so that you will shrink back from doing what God's called you to do in confidence. See, sometimes people are just going through the motions. They're not really having victory. They're not really satisfied in their walk. There's a lot of stuff that they're dealing with. They're being tormented in their walk, in their life. But if somebody were to ask them how you're doing, oh, I'm doing great. You understand, humility is the beginning, amen, of change. It's their starting place. It's being honest to say, well, would you pray for me? I need some help here. We're in this together. God called us together as a body. He places us in families so that we can, you know, help one another through. That we can utilize that which He's invested in us for the benefit of others. And so, there are people that God will bring in your life, people that He strategically placed in your life, someone that you can confide in. You know, since I've been a believer, I've never been in a place where I didn't have at least somebody that I can confide in, a confidant, you know. God does that. You need to ask the Lord who, because you've got to be careful, amen, who you open up to and the things that you share with certain people. You know, if the enemy can get us to believe that we can't overcome, then we're just going to give up the fight. If he believes it's impossible for you to be free, if he convinces you that you're just going to have to live in torment the rest of your life, then you'll give up the fight and you'll just accept that that's just the way things are going to have to be for me. And he's already defeated you. How many know that the Lord does not want his people tormented? He does not want us guilt-ridden. He doesn't want us living in shame, all right? When we sin, it brings shame, but there's a solution. His name is Jesus, amen? We run to the Lord with that, and His blood has availed for us, amen, in the mercy seat, in the very presence of the Father. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us, and, come on, cleanse us from what? All We have to receive the truth. We have to believe what God said and quit believing the lie that the enemy wants to drop into your head and get you to meditate on and think on, because again, he's trying to rob you of your confidence in God, because God has a plan for your life. God has a mission for you in this world. Amen. And the devil wants to try to shut you down. So he's going to try to use the past against you. But if you have given your heart to Jesus Christ, you have confessed and renounced your sinful ways, God has forgiven you and God is no longer holding it against you. It's time to get up, amen, and get back in the fight and quit listening to the propaganda of the enemy. Because he uses lies to try to defeat us. It's hard to know what to believe on the news today. I don't spend too much time on it. Well, maybe I do, but 5 minutes is too much probably. But you know, they show these scenes of Belarus, for example, you know, that they are going back to their country because they decided that it wasn't worth the effort, or there's no way that they could, you know, overcome in the battle. And I think of that as, you know, how propaganda works even. You know, the enemy tries to demoralize us, to try to make us think that it's just too big and too impossible, and that, you know, you can't win this thing. And it works on both sides, you know, of this conflict. So they use propaganda against each other in this conflict that's going on. If we don't believe the battle can be won, then we give up the fight. If I have faith I can do all things through Christ, then I will overcome in spiritual war. Well, yeah, I can do all things except that. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. This is a New Living Translation. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Amplified says, faith is perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So you can't go by your feelings about a matter, or even how things appear in the natural. We need to see things from God's perspective. We need divine perspective. We need to see things through the lens of truth, of what is real, of what is authentic. Otherwise, we will believe the lie and be deceived by it. So God wants his people free from all demons, deception, false gods, and all sinful practices. And there's no reason that we should have to give ourselves over to these things, because the power of those things have been broken already at the cross. It is a victory. Jesus has won, and Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. So again, the reason why God told Israel to completely drive out their enemies, because he knew that their freedom depended on it. Do you understand? Your freedom depends on what you do with your enemies. What you do with them. You see, God has already dealt with the enemy. But he's authorized us in his name to enforce what he's already accomplished for us. So it's up to me to make sure that the enemy has no room in me, no place in me anymore. And if I'm being tormented by a spirit, then that spirit, amen, unless I've given it legal permission through compromise to sin, amen, that has to go. And if it's there because of sin, I need to repent of that sin, amen, so that legal authority can be broken, amen, and then you can take authority over it and tell it to go, and it will have to go. He'll try to lie to you and tell you he won't. No, but God says yes. God authorizes us to enforce what he's already accomplished. And so again, God means business, guys, when it comes to, you know, dealing with sin, dealing with, you know, these false gods and these high things in our minds. Amen. God doesn't want us to allow those things. He said, listen, if you don't deal with them, then you're going to end up being tormented by these very things that I told you to get rid of. So when you go and he says you got to get rid of them all, Verse 55, if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain, who let remain, they let remain, shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides. And they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. In other words, God wants his people to enjoy the freedom that he purchased for us. Amen? God wants us liberated. God wants happy campers. Amen? He doesn't want beat down, tormented Christians. Amen? He wants Christians who know who they are in Christ, who Christ is in them. Amen? Who are cooperating with the Spirit of God and enforcing the freedom that Christ has purchased for us at the cross. We've been given that authority in Jesus' name. And then he further warned Israel. He further warned them in verse 56. Moreover, he said, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them. In other words, if you do not deal with these when I'm telling you to deal with them, then they're going to have their way in your life. Your freedom, my freedom, depends on what we do with our enemies. How many here have ever said, I'm my own worst enemy? Well, that old nature is like that, isn't it? That sin nature, that flesh nature has to be put to death daily. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Talking about a runner, right? In a marathon. Get rid of even the good things that bog you down. And the sin which so easily ensnares us, traps us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, I'm going to ask a very important question here. Once I have repented of my sins, and I have renounced Satan and all his ways, how do I maintain my freedom in Christ? So if I've already confessed my sins, I've already renounced Satan, amen? God has forgiven me. How do I now maintain my walk and my freedom in Christ? You see, this is where sometimes, due to a lack of understanding of these things, the enemy continues to hold us. If we don't know how to enforce, if we don't know how to deal with these things in our lives. See, a lot of people are just, well, they're being taught that there's no power available today. You know, that there's no miracles today. There's no deliverance today. And so you just got to go see the psychiatrist and let him pump you full of dope, you know. Because God wants to set the captives free. Amen. If it's demonic, amen, God says deal with them. Drive them out. Here it is, Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love. Walk in love. In other words, don't be so preoccupied with what you're not doing or what's bad or what's wrong around you. Be preoccupied with a relationship with Jesus. Amen. Abiding in him. Hallelujah. In his love. As Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Romans 13 verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Let's say love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, hear you, hear it. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. If there is any other commandment, all are what summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, that your joy might be what? Full. He says it's all summed up in verse 10, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. The things that were written in the law was really the heart of God. Amen. But apart from a relationship with God, it was impossible for us to live up to those commandments. Are you hearing me? And the commandments were there to make us aware that we're sinful, that we've fallen short of God's glory, that we can't live up to God's expectation, so that we would forsake, amen, ourselves and our own means of saving ourselves and turn to the only one who can save us and save us from ourselves. Do we run to Jesus Christ, the only one who can save us, that we might find rest for our soul, that we might find freedom in the Holy Spirit, that we may be able to walk in freedom from condemnation and fear and shame and guilt and all these things the enemy wants to torment you with. Get rid of them. Get it out of your life. Do whatever you got to do. But it's up to you and I to enforce what Jesus has accomplished. And we need to deal with our enemies. We need to deal a death blow to our enemy. No longer will I give him permission. No longer will I listen to that other voice. But I'm going to listen to the voice of truth. So keeping these two positive commandments to love will enable us to obey all the do-nots of the law. If we would do the positive thing of loving one another, amen? Blessings, serving, being Christ, amen, to one another. Expression of his heart. 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected or matured in us. Amen. So life in Christ, guys, hear this. It's not based upon how much you know. Nor even how much you do. Because we can be proud of what we know and proud of what we do. But how much do I love? How much do I love? Right? You've heard it said, people are not interested in how much you know, but how much do you love or how much do you care? And that's very true. The heart of God, Jesus came and he demonstrated what real love is, what real love looks like. And I want to be like Jesus, amen. I want to grow up and be like him in every way, amen, conformed into his glorious image. But I have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in this process. So it's not based upon how much we know. People think that if I can just get another study in or another word in, another memory verse in or another devotion in, then I'll be more spiritual. Well, you may be more knowledgeable. But how many know that the Word of God is to point us to the living Word of God, Jesus Christ, and a relationship with the living Word, amen? It makes all the difference. It's not about just getting information, amen? If that information doesn't point you to that person, amen, it's all in vain. You're just a legalist. You're just a Pharisee. The Pharisees knew the Word too, you know. First Corinthians 13:1, here it is. I'm sure you've never heard this one before. New Living Translation says it this way. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, if I could understand all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. He goes on to say, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, wow, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. In other words, you can do a lot of good things and yet not be possessed by the love of God. And God is love. You see, some people do good things to be seen of men. They want everybody to notice what they do. But how many know that anything that is done outside of the love of God is worthless? That's what he's saying. You can do all these things, but if it's not in the love of God, it's worthless. People are spending themselves doing good service, but if it's not in the love of God, it's not through a relationship, an expression of God's heart through us, amen, and then it's worthless. You have works, but they can be dead works, because dead works are good works that we do that are not in agreement with the will of God for us. So he goes on to explain what real love is. Here it is in verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, and is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. That's what we need, is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the kingdom is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. A relationship in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So if we are abiding in God's love, then we will not willfully sin. Because sin is destructive. Sin causes death. But when we abide in God's love, we are abiding in His life. When you abide in love, you abide in life, God's life. You see, there's a difference between human love and God's love. Amen? God's kind of love is a sacrificial love. Self-sacrificing. It's unidirectional love. Amen? It's loving us, even the unlovely. That's the love of God. Amen? It's being concerned and caring about others that may not even be interested in you. That's the kind of love of God. And the earthly love, the sensual love, even the eros love, is the feeling of love. And I feel loved here. Well, what kind of feeling of love are you getting? Is it from human origin or is it the love of God? The love of God will tell you the truth because they love you enough to tell you the truth. And you see, some people are not really open to the love of God. Their idea of love is just this touchy-feely, feel-good stuff. How many know that the cross was not a feel-good thing? It was a time, a horrible time for our Lord. Amen? He paid the highest price at that cross. It was the love of God that put Jesus on the cross on our behalf. That's God's kind of love. If Jesus was operating in sensual and human love, he would have denied, amen, the cross. He would have said, no, I can't do it. You and I are not capable of living out the plan, the purpose of God in this world apart from the love of God. Are you hearing me? We'll try to save ourselves and to stay in a comfortable little place, a predictable place where I am in control of my own destiny. And how many know that Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Any question? And not do the things that I say. It's the love of God that motivated Paul the Apostle to go through all the things he went through, all the torture he went through even, all the rejection that he went through because he was motivated by God's kind of love, amen, that he loved people enough that he would even sacrifice himself and lay his life down for others. That's the kind of love that we need shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The kind of love that can love an enemy. The kind of love that would pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. We need God's love. Anything outside of that is worthless. Even if we're doing good deeds, good things. I remember going to I'm not going to say where it was at, but a church function. It was, they were doing a swap meet or one of those garage sales or flea market kind of thing they were selling. And so, you know, I just went on. It was a great opportunity to stop and see what they had, but mostly just to say hello to the people and get to meet the people. And some of the people who were there that were serving, you know, and behind the tables and selling things. And this one lady in particular, she was just nasty. You know, her disposition. It was like she was not enjoying herself at all, and she wanted you to know that. I said, why are you even out? I wanted to say that I didn't. Maybe I should have. So why are you even here? You're here to represent the Lord. Amen. If your heart's not in it, don't do it. You're just wasting your time. We represent the Lord. Everything we do is important. You need to find what God has called you to and do that and do it well. Do it to your best. Amen. Best of your ability. It may not always measure up to what others think you should do or how you should do it, but you do what God has shown you to do, okay? Because you're not to be led by man, but led by the Spirit. Amen. And God can use people to speak to us. But we're going to answer to God, amen, for what we do or don't do. Romans 13:9 again, I want to read it again. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. If there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So one of Satan's strategies is to get us proud. And even proud of good things. Proud of good things. Proud of how much we know. Proud of what we do for God. How much we read our Bible. God, I thank you. I'm not like other men that don't read their Bible as much as I do. How much we witness, give to the poor, and even being martyrs. This enemy wants to get you proud of the things that you do. How many know that our service to the Lord is out of love and gratitude for all he's done for us? It's not about us. Amen. We do it because we love Jesus. Amen. And we love people. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So a religious spirit is a demon that seeks to substitute religious activity for the Holy Spirit in our lives. In other words, religious people are like that lady, venomous. There's no life there, you know. I didn't sense any good fruit coming from that vine, amen? But when we are abiding in the true vine, Jesus Christ, amen, then there will be an expression of him through our lives, amen? There will be the good fruit of Christ through us, amen, the fruit of the Spirit. Simply because we are abiding in him. We are walking with him. We are in communion with him. Hallelujah. We're connected. And staying in that place with him. So these demons sometimes will try to impersonate a Christian. Because they do a lot of Christian activity. But they don't have the fruit. You know what I'm talking about? You ever run into somebody that does a lot of things for God? But you question whether they even know God. Right? There's pastors in the pulpits. Amen. All over the place. That you have to question, do they even know God? They're talking about God, but do they know the God that they're talking about? Because a tree is known by its fruit. And how many know our God is holy? Our God does not tolerate sin. Our God hates sin and all of it. That's why he told Israel, once again, get rid of it all. Completely purge the land. Because if you do not, they're going to be a sty in your eye. Amen? And they're going to be a thorn in your flesh. And they're going to torment you. They're going to harass you in the land which I've given to you. God wants us to enter into a place called rest in him. A place where we're at peace in him. Amen? Where we're no longer being harassed by our enemies because we have dealt a death blow to that devil. Amen? We're no longer cooperating with him. We're no longer giving him any audience. And we're not giving him, amen, the time of day. But we're listening to Jesus. And what does Jesus say? If it doesn't line up with that, get out of here. Amen? And everything he says is a lie. Sometimes works are based in tradition. I know there's others that have come out of traditional-based churches that have come here. And so we think by going through some type of ritual that somehow that's going to make me holy or make me acceptable to God. But how many know that no ceremony is going to make you holy? Amen. Only Jesus can make you holy. Amen. And I don't care how much ceremony you want to do. It's only the blood of Christ that cleanses us. Amen. And God wants us to break free from traditions of men. And why do you do it this way? Oh, we just because we do it here. It's just our tradition. Well, if there's no life in it, scrap it. Sometimes our works are in self, you know. We're just doing it because we're trying to get attention to ourselves rather than Christ. Let me ask you this question. What if nobody sees your good works? How do you react to that? Does it upset you if nobody notices the good things that you're doing? It's a good test, isn't it? Sometimes without realizing it, we can be, you know, really focusing on self and making it about self. I want to make sure that when I do this deed, or if I give this money, or if I do this, whatever it is, that somebody is noticing me because I'm doing this. Oh, isn't that what Jesus warned the Pharisee about? He said, beware of what? The leaven of the Pharisees, the teaching of the Pharisees. Luke 12:1, which is what? Hypocrisy. He says they're actors. They're doing it for themselves. They're not doing it for God. It's not for God, it's for them. They like to be greeted in the marketplace. They like to be called rabbi, rabbi, right? They love the chief seats in the synagogues. They want to be recognized of men. So what if somebody doesn't see the good deed that I'm doing? Does that upset me? If it does, I need to repent of that attitude and say, listen, I'm doing it for me instead of Christ, and I need to repent of that. Are you hearing me? Sometimes, without realizing it, ministries can become about the messenger rather than the one who sent the messenger. We might have started out right, but we have to guard ourselves against pride, because the enemy's into pride. If he can get us proud, he can bring us down. So he wants us to get proud of our accomplishments, proud of what we know, proud of how much scripture we may know, or proud of the deeds that we've done. And oh boy, I just look for opportunities to tell people all the good things I've done. You hear me, somebody? We have to be careful of that. Even when Paul boasted about himself, he says, I'm speaking as a fool. He was very clear about that, wasn't he? He said, I'm speaking as a fool, when he was boasting about all the things that he accomplished. Because they were saying, well, you haven't done anything, Paul. And he talked about all the things that he suffered for Christ and the fruit of his ministry. But he says, but I'm speaking as a fool. He's saying, I'm going to keep myself in perspective here and say, you know, I'm only doing this to make you understand that I'm not who they say I am, but I didn't do it for me. And it wasn't because of me, but it was by the grace of God I am who I am today. We have to remind ourselves of that. It's by the grace of God I am who I am today. Otherwise, we get into competition. We get into comparing with others. You see, we're all going to give an account to the same Lord, aren't we? So I just need to make sure that I'm doing what God has told me to do, and be faithful in that, and know that the Lord will reward those who have been faithful. Payday will come. Whether you ever get acknowledged now or get a gold star for attendance or whatever. Why did God tell them to drive out all the inhabitants? Rid all the false gods, demolish all the high places? Because he loved his people. He loves us. He doesn't want us tormented. He doesn't want us bound. He wants us liberated and filled with his Holy Spirit and raised up to serve him, amen, so that we can share in his kingdom in that day. And when we see him, have a good report, amen. God wants every demon, every idol, every sinful habit eliminated from our lives. Hallelujah. So you don't have to remain bound any longer, guys. Isn't that good news? Because Jesus has overcome the enemy of our soul. And we have the power in the name of Jesus to break every stronghold, to demolish every high place, to cast out every demon, to have full control over my body and what I allow my body to do or not to do. It's up to me. God has given me charge of me to say, body, you are my servant. Amen. You're not my master. And God gives us the power, the ability to rule over ourselves, amen, and to choose his path over our own. And that is the way everlasting. That is the way of life. And it is a narrow way, and there are few that find it. But God has accomplished for us what we could never accomplish for ourselves. He paid the price in full. God wants you free. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to lead us in just a congregational prayer together. And I want to pray that through this, and the Holy Spirit, you'll guide me, that God will break chains of addiction, of bondage, sinful habits. Evil spirits will be broken. They'll be cast out. Those high things, those strongholds of the enemy will be brought down. Amen. In Jesus' name. So let's pray together. Repeat after me if you would. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare today that I am free from all addiction, from all demonic power, from the power of sin. And in Jesus' name, I declare liberty to the captives, the opening of the eyes to those who are bound. Lord, open the prison doors and liberate me. Set me free today in Jesus' name. Satan, I renounce you. I reject you. I command you to go. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are no longer authorized to be here. Go in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me for all my sins. Wash me in your blood and fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me power over me and over the enemy. Thank you, Lord, that you have broken the power of sin in my life and the power of Satan in my life. And whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. I declare I am free in Jesus' name. No longer bound by sin. No longer bound by fear. God has given me a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. 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 Praise. Hallelujah. Lord, fill me up. Holy Spirit, fill me up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.